grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Chris Valley.
G'day.
Oh, you got some specs on today.
Oh, shh, don't say that.
I don't know if I've ever... Have I seen you with specs on?
Maybe not, but okay. I use them to read occasionally.
All right,
so
okay.
Thanks for revealing that. No, it's all good. It's just part of getting older, folks.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you've got some backup notes and pointers on it.
There's a lot happening this week.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? What is in the news?
Well, let me just start by saying I do have a prize this week, so pay attention.
Yes.
And look at this. It's a raw gripper grinder.
Ooh.
Made out of hemp plastic. Do your little...
Oh, nice.
You might know that noise. And then, lo and behold, before you know it, you got one of them.
Hey. Oh, yes, that's the real prize, that right there. I'm telling you.
That's not a prize, remember?
don't tell the listeners.
Pay attention, folks. So, leading this week's cannabis news was actually just today, Radio New Zealand, good on them, and the Pacific News section has updated us or revealed that in the Cook Islands, they're making some good progress on their medical cannabis, which they may, well, they had a referendum last year as part of their general election, and that voted yes by actually a large amount. And so they're getting on with making medical cannabis legal. And so this committee, Cannabis Referendum Committee, has met with the Cabinet, and what they've decided on is sort of a two-stage approach. Firstly, they're going to make some progress on prescription of imported products, medicinal cannabis products, and then next stage, cultivation and distribution of locally made products. Which is very good. Sounds a lot like here, actually. And which they did actually cite that they want to make their laws more like New Zealand and Australia. And in fact, they mentioned in this discussion with the Cabinet, they talked also about criminal justice matters. And I think that's a follow-up from in February, also in Radio New Zealand, they reported that allowing medical cannabis and manufacturing would actually spur a review of the wider laws. And they said, you know, they can't actually, well, they don't want to have a situation where they're accidentally arresting people who are legally entitled to it and being prescribed it on things. So once you legalize medical cannabis, well, you kind of have to decriminalize it for everyone. Mm. And that's great. Of course, I agree with that argument. That's what we should be doing here.
Why have we not done that? If you can go and get cannabis from the pharmacy, why is it not decriminalized?
Exactly. They might argue that it kind of is, and with the police discretion amendment that went through in 2018, that gives the police discretion over these things.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of intents and purposes, it kind of is, but it's not really. That's not the same as decrim. Every one of those instances is still the police going out of their way to shake someone down or search someone or whatever they're doing, and then make a decision to let them go. Da, 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 da.
Mm.
And if it's at that point where you kind of, well, okay, 99% or 98% or whatever that they say they're letting go at the moment, what are they even interacting with them in the first place for?
Mm-hmm.
So whereas proper decrim, the police wouldn't even be wasting their time.
Yes, don't worry about it. Save yourself half an hour mucking around.
Exactly. So it's not actually saving a huge amount of police time at the moment. They're still far too involved.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be the lead agency, put it that way, just like they shouldn't be the lead agency for mental health. So, really good that the Cook Islands are looking at that.
Okay.
One thing, we currently, under New Zealand's regulations, we can't export the seeds from here. And
are there some,
it was like a one way we could import seeds and have local genetics incorporated in.
Yes.
But we can't export. I've reached out to the Ministry of Health for clarification on that, but that's my current understanding. And so in terms of the Cook Islands wanting to get some genetics from here or sort of get going in that, under our current one, we might not be able to. But fortunately, as you probably remember from a few weeks, or over the last few months even, we've talked about these changes that MedSafe are proposing that hopefully are going to go through. They'd had ministerial sign-off before they even proposed it, so it's kind of, you know, it's looking pretty good. And one of those changes was to allow export of seed.
Okay. Chris Valley, just what, I mean, a few years ago we had this amnesty where people could submit their local strains. Is there a database of local strains that people can access or look at just to see what's on the register? Is there something like that?
Well, not a kind of universal one, but certainly if you go to ZCAN, which is my company, and we're licensed to sell genetics here, and we have most of our strains listed up on there.
Okay.
You can check them.
Do you have any?
We've got some old ones, some Tempuki Thunder and some Waiheke Wonderweed and a few others. So, you know, as well as some modern Dutch ones and American ones.
Waiheke Wonderweed.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got to have a production, you know, cultivation permit to actually get them.
So are there some Waiheke Wonderweed plants sitting in some crazy warehouse somewhere, like growing seeds?
Maybe a car park for pack and save or something.
What?
Yeah, that does happen, actually.
That did happen in, like, Lower Hutt a little while ago.
Okay, I missed that news story.
Damn.
All right. Hey, Chris Valley, what else has been happening in the news?
Well, continuing with our Pacific neighbours, New Caledonia, I think might be one of our closest neighbours. So just also announced today on Radio New Zealand, good on them, political parties there pushing for legalisation of CBD, the non-psychoactive cannabinoid. This doesn't actually cause a high, but you know, people are no doubt well familiar with it. It's a lot of medicinal uses and very widely available in pretty much every country. Not so widely available here, but certainly if you go to Europe, you just get it in general stores and the cafe and supermarkets and off the shelf in the pharmacy and things. So anyway, this seems like they're trying to equalise with French Polynesia, which did it at the end of last year. And it's these two parties over there, the Future and Confidence Party and the Caledonian Unity Party, have lodged three amendments to take CBD out of the list of criminalised drugs and allow products to come in and allow it to be prescribed. So it's bloody awesome. And, you know, more reform spreading around the Pacific. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. But having said that, so quite a lot of people from Tahiti, French Polynesia, come over to New Zealand every summer.
Yeah.
And it seems, and I might have a biased sample, but it seems that of the ones that come into the hemp store, which is pretty much all of them, it seems, they follow what's going on here very closely. They're very... anyway, I haven't noticed any optimism over what's happened so far in French Polynesia. So, we'll keep on top of that. We'll keep on track of it. But,
much like here, kind of there is reform, but it's very slow and people aren't really seeing too much of it.
Yeah, well, when you restrict it to CBD and hemp, then people on the ground go, well, where's my place in that?
Yes.
And there's no real large-scale agriculture over there. You know, it's they're volcanic atolls. So, and it's very much based around little villages and things. So, something more like the Thai model where you just go hands off and let people go for it is kind of what would work. But if you go for a pharmaceutical one, then everyone will be locked out, just kind of like they are here, really.
Yes. All right. What's next?
Well, speaking of locked out, and I thought this was kind of topical because of the person who's maybe coming into the country around the visa thing. Controversial figure. And another controversial figure, Prince Harry. That's right. His visa to be in America is under threat. And it's under threat because of his admission to using drugs, including cannabis, and it's being threatened by a highly intensive lobbying campaign by a beer-funded conservative front group called the Heritage Foundation.
Wow.
Why do they give a fuck?
Because they like protecting traditional American values. So this Heritage Foundation were founded by the Coors family of the brewing empire during the Reagan era, and they've campaigned for what they call traditional American values, which is anti-abortion, anti-LGBTQI, anti-everything, you know. So it turns out they're the ones who have been racking this up and kind of saying, hey, because Harry admitted to, you know, maybe enjoying some drugs or getting benefit from them.
Didn't Obama admit to...
Well, they probably went after him too.
Admitted to using a bit of, you know...
Yeah, and it gets used against them, I guess is the point I'm saying. Yeah. And it gets used against them by, like this, like a lobby group founded by the legal drug empire.
Yeah.
You know, and so just to recap, in his book Spare, what Harry said is he had used some cocaine as a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do his voice because I haven't quite got that. I tried practicing. But he said marijuana was different. It really did help him, and it helped him deal with his trauma, is what he said. And he also had a very positive experience with ayahuasca, which is the psychedelic from the Amazon.
Oh, wow.
Revealing that it brought him a sense of relaxation, release, comfort, and a lightness that I managed to hold on for a period of time. Yeah, so you can't be saying good things like that. So the Heritage Foundation went after him, and they're saying, well, because US immigration law is very strict on these things, if he wasn't fully truthful in his application, then that's out. You're barred and you're out.
Okay. Seems so strange.
And then if he was truthful, they wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's the catch-22.
He'll be fine. I'm sure he's got enough legal support to just charge on through this.
Yeah,
which,
sure
that sucks
sure
for everyone
money,
else. Who, yeah.
Right?
Wow. Crazy.
Right. Okay, so there we go. On some local news, just a quick little wrap-up and roll-up of the local news. National MP Shane Retty in a... article this week in the Herald, which was on what's causing the longer hospital waiting lists.
Yes.
And he put it down to Labour's first 100 days focus on medicinal cannabis.
He puts it squarely on that.
Of all the things you could, you know. Yeah.
Where does our brother Shane stuff, that's just stand on weed in general? Do we know?
Well, he was the he's the health spokesperson, so it's under his remit. And at the time, he actually had a bill in Parliament right there, a private members bill that he's since withdrawn. But at that time of that 100 days, and his bill was going to let doctors issue a medical cannabis card, and then you'd rock along to your pharmacy and just buy from the off the shelf.
There you go.
Yeah, so you know, he was right into it too. So I'm not quite sure where that's coming from. But the thing is it's actually a separate little unit that's fully funded by the license fees, which is why they're so bloody high. So there's actually no resource drain at all on the rest of the Ministry of Health. It's just a completely separate thing. So just to allay that. On the student tip, Salient magazine from Victoria Uni, they had a good little article in this week's issue on how to have a productive conversation about supporting people who take drugs.
Yes.
So not necessarily coming from the don't do it and get off it, but if people are going to do it, well, how do you support them to be safe? And how do you even initiate that conversation? So people can check that out. But on that topic, the Drug Foundation have announced this week that they are doing some consultation with Te Whatu Ora about exactly that thing, people with lived experience and giving guideline or giving advice for new treatment guidelines for people who work in the addiction centre and the drug treatment sector. And again, so coming from that angle of not necessarily abstaining, but how do you
use safely? I feel like there's plenty of information across the internet, but I guess it's making sure that the source is reliable.
Yeah, and that kind of thing hasn't flowed through to the actual guidelines, you know, which in this kind of sector, they haven't been updated since the kind of early 2000s, which, you know, was the last time that drug law reform was high on the agenda, you know.
Yes.
So, and you know, last time we had a Labour-led government, and but, you know, it takes a couple of terms for it to kind of work through.
I had a strange thing where I was around at my parents' house going through some old stuff in the garage. My parents were like, you need to get rid of all your crap that's been hanging around. And I was shuffling through some stuff and got some information on cannabis, which we were supplied at school. And I looked at this, like, this is high school I'm talking about, where this information sheet, I looked at it and I was like, this is actually still bloody good information. You know, I was like really surprised at how, you know, like solid it was. It was very strange. I thought, you know, maybe it might have been more conservative and more like, do not do this thing.
I was going to say, was it from the DARE program? But it doesn't sound like it was.
Like good. Maybe it was from the Drug Foundation or something
it
like that.
It could have been. Each school kind of does their own. That's why some schools get things like DARE and FADE and LIFE and kind of odd, other odd kind of groups.
I was very surprised how good it was, like, you know, still pretty gold standard today. You know, it's just like, if you're going to do this thing, well, here's what you need to know. And I was very surprised.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, yeah, that is, as I say, that last kind of wave of reform, and they had booklets like Sorted come out. This was in the late 90s or early 2000s, and you know, drug testing was actually a thing back then, and it all kind of died away, because what did we have? We had like 9 years of a national government, and kind of, no, we can't do all these things anymore. And so, you know, hey, election year people, make sure you're going to actually vote and get out there and try and influence, because not every national MP feels that way, but you know, make sure that people know there's a lot of support for the direction things have been going in terms of drug law reform in this country, but we need to do more of it, not wind it back.
Yeah. Chris Valley, what do we need to know? What's happening at the hemp store?
Well, so speaking of staying safe and the Drug Foundation, they're going to be in the shop next week. It's first Thursday, next Thursday, which is the whatever of April, first Thursday of April. So the Drug Foundation will be in the shop from 3 till 7 doing the substance testing. It's free and legal. You can bring anything in and get it tested, know what you're taking, and then make, you know, an informed choice, which is very good.
J-Day, of course, and coming up.
That's the other thing. J-Day, that's the first Saturday in May every year. So that's the 6th of May, not
in
very
Albert
far away.
Park.
And that's in Albert Park, High Noon to 4:20. Okay. And brought to you by the Hemp Store, of course, like it is every year. And so we'll be there. And, yeah, Saturday, 6th of May.
Do we have a question for this grinder?
Oh, yes, the grinder. The grinder question. When's J-Day?
Easy.
When is J-Day? And you can go and pick this grinder up from the Hemp Store on K Road.
Right on. And this is the raw gripper grinder. Not only hemp plastic, but it's got these big grippy things, which are really good, especially for people, medical patients especially. Okay. But for anyone, but it just makes it nice
that
and easy.
That much easier. Yeah. I can't recommend a grinder enough. I just thought, I'll never use a grinder. But they're
makes
great.
It so much easier to work with, especially bigger buds.
Especially sticky stuff as well.
Health and safety. For J-Day, you can get like wrist kind of injuries and that from too much. So the grinder's good for that. It's very good.
All right, Chris. Give us a holler, 5395, if you know when J-Day is, and you could be winning yourself this grinder.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
To the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with me.